The fourth question is, when it comes to deep ecology, another thinker I find, I being the questioner, find as fascinating as you is the octogenarian Finn Pentilocola. However, I rarely, if ever, hear the two of you discussed in the same spaces. Are you familiar with his work? Do you know if he's familiar with yours? No and no. I'm not familiar with his. I've heard the name, that's all. Excuse me, I have no idea if he's familiar with mine. Interestingly, you're often labeled as a left-wing radical, and he's often labeled as a right-wing radical. However, both of you share similar axioms that place you outside of any typical left-right spectrum, in that neither of you are human supremacists, and both of you are very comfortable with violence and the retarding of economic growth. I'm uncomfortable with violence. It's just that I don't leave it off the table. For me, this means you both have a lot more in common with one another than either has with generic culture warriors found on the right and left. Well, that's part. There's a couple of things here. One of them is that, I mean, I don't know his work, so anything I say about his work or anything we have in common is purely speculative. But I'm suspecting that what we may have in common is a biocentric perspective. I don't know. I mean, I know that Earth First was not formed by lefties. I mean, they called themselves Rednecks for Wilderness. And what they were was biocentric. And that's the primary thing I care about, is a perspective that is ecocentric and biocentric, takes the planet as primary. And then also, I mean, there's a few things here. Another is, I don't really consider myself left-wing. I'm certainly not right-wing. What I consider myself is, and let me finish this before you throw rocks at me, what I consider myself is fundamentally conservative. And what I mean by that is, I think it's a monumentally stupid idea to wipe out great runs of salmon when they are good for the forest and when you can eat them. I just think that's stupid. And I've always thought that's stupid. And I think that it's just monumentally stupid to wipe out lampreys, who I've heard from a friend that smoked lamprey is so fat and rich it tastes like candy. And never mind their ecological benefits. I just think it's monumentally stupid. I think what we're doing is incredibly stupid. And I'm conservative in that I think that it is wasteful to wipe out runs of salmon so you can have electricity to run a computer. I just think it's a stupid idea. You know, one of my sisters just got a little bit of a windfall, and so she has to, and she, because of some other circumstances, she can't save it. She's prohibited from saving it, so she has to spend it. So she was saying, should I, you know, do some improvements around my apartment, or should I take a trip to New York? And we both are like, do the improvements in your apartment, because then you'll have them forever. A trip to New York, after the trip's done, it's gone. So, I mean, I'm not saying nobody should ever take a trip. I'm just saying I'm fundamentally conservative that way. And second, I don't read reviews of my work anymore. And I haven't read reviews for 15 years. But a review I read early on, I really liked. Somebody said, you know, at some point in his career, everybody who loves Derek Jensen's work is going to hate him, because he refuses to follow any ideological lines, but instead just takes his thoughts wherever they go. And I love that. And it's true. I've had people write to me and say, oh my God, I loved you so much when you wrote A Language Older Than Words, but now that you wrote Culture Make-Believe, I never want to speak to you again. You made me so mad. And people who, when I wrote Endgame, said, oh, I love language and culture so much, but now Endgame, because you talk about fighting back, it makes me hate you, and I never want to read you again. I mean, so I don't. You know, the whole, and that's another thing I want to bring up, is the whole sort of purity thing. This is huge on the left. I don't know if it's big on the right, but right now on the left, there's this huge deal that you can't work with anybody on the right, and if you do, then you're impure. And that just doesn't make any sense to me. I think I mean, environmentalists used to do this all the time, that you have environmentalists and hunters work together to try to protect some land. Oh, and I don't know if I ever told this story. I love this story. One time, a publisher set up, I get a lot of interviews set up, and a lot of them make sense, and once in a while they don't. And one interview that got set up that didn't make any sense is they hooked me up with a Pittsburgh Pirates baseball post-game show. And I didn't even know this going in. It's just I'm supposed to call up the radio station. It's like, hi, this is Derek Jensen. It's like, great, we got you on the Pittsburgh Pirates post-game show right now. It's like, I didn't even watch the game or anything. I didn't know who they were playing that day. And we get on, and because both the asker and I were professionals, when we realized we got 15 minutes to fill, we were like trying to figure out. And what we came to, since Western Pennsylvania is very much a hunting territory, we started talking about how I thought hunters and animal rights activists should work together to protect habitat. And then once the habitat's protected, the animal rights people can go sabotage the hunts of the hunters. And the hunters can get mad at the animal rights people later, but for now you work together to protect habitat because you have that in common. And I don't know why that's so hard to understand. I mean, I have no problem working on, some of the strongest people against prostitution and pornography are Christians. And why not work with them on that issue and then not work with them on abortion? And just to be very clear, I got to tell this story. The story, this is one of my favorite stories. This is back when I was living in Spokane, and one year I would go to the slash piles to the national, where the National Forest deforests are for us. They leave behind slash piles of the smaller pieces of wood, and so I would go up there with my truck and get wood for firewood. And I was up there one day, and way back in the forest, and I get a flat tire, and so I go to check my spare. And my spare is flat too, because I haven't looked at my spare in 5 years. And it's like, oh crap. So I'm not going to walk. It's miles out. So I'm not going to walk. I'm thumping along the road at 1 mile an hour. And I get to this guy's house and I ask him, can I borrow a pump to pump up my, he says, sorry, I don't have a pump. He says, I do have a spare tire you can use. So he gives me a tire. And I drive home, and the next day I go and get my tires fixed, and then my mom makes a cake, and I take the cake back up to this guy to thank him and give him back his tire. It's like an hour drive or something. So I take him back his tire. He says, great, you want to come in and have a piece of cake? I said, sure. So we go inside, have a piece of cake. He's got chainsaws. Literally, instead of paintings on his walls, he's got chainsaws. This guy is like he's like the logger from Central Casting. And then he's a really nice guy. And he says, so, you know, as long as you're here, I got plenty of wood out and back. You want to go out and I'll just cut you some firewood to length. I got tons of wood out there. I said, sure, that'd be really nice. So I'll go back. He's holding the chainsaw. And then he says, so, by the way, what do you do for a living? And I go, oh, crap. And I'm really bad at lying. So I say, well, I'm a writer. He says, what do you write? And I'm thinking, science fiction, fantasy, romance. But like I said, I'm a bad liar. So I say, well, right now I'm writing a book about how the big four timber companies got their land illegally from the public domain. And this guy starts swearing. He turns red in the face. I'm looking for a break in the fence. And it takes me about 20 seconds to realize that this guy's an independent logger who's been put out of business by Plum Creek, and he hates Plum Creek even more than I do, which I didn't think was possible. He knows more about Plum Creek than I do, which I didn't know was possible. And it takes us another 20, 30 seconds, and then we got our arms around each other's shoulders just swapping atrocity stories of how much we hate Plum Creek. And I said, you know, I got to tell you, just to be honest, I got to tell you, I am against all forms of industrial logging. So after you and I take down Plum Creek and Weyerhaeuser and Potlatch, Boise Cascade, I'm coming after you. And then he and I just both laughed our asses off because we recognized that taking down Plum Creek, Potlatch, Boise Cascade, Weyerhaeuser is a job of a lifetime. And yes, I disagree with all industrial logging, but my disagreement with this particular guy was so theoretical. Or I had another student one time who, when I taught at East Washington University, had a student who was a small log owner who had been put out of business by Weyerhaeuser. Stories that he could tell about Weyerhaeuser were just chilling. Quickly, the way that he got put out of business is Weyerhaeuser did this all the time. They would make orders, huge orders, and you're a tiny mill, so you need, you get this huge order, that's great. This has made our business for the year. And then they would delay on paying you. And then they would delay on paying you and delay on paying you. And because you're a small business, you can't do it. And they would basically just say, yeah, go ahead and sue us for the money we owe you. And so he got driven out of business by that. And he was very right wing. And he and I would sort of look at each other like, sort of dogs at a dog park who don't really trust each other. And then we had some nice conversations. And one of the things, so we disagreed on logging, obviously. He thought logging was great. But we agreed, for example, that no one should be allowed to clear cut further than 200 yards from your home. He thought clear cuts are okay, but we both agreed that absentee ownership, no. So every mine owner should have to live on the mine, and your children should have to drink the water that comes out of the mine. And you should have to drink the water that comes out of the mine. And so the point is, I don't have to agree with somebody on everything. Basically, if I think that working with this person, in this neighborhood, when we were working to stop the developers, it was just a group of people in the neighborhood. And a couple were very fundamentalist Christians. I remember there was one conversation where the fundamentalist Christians, the whole neighborhood's there, fundamentalist Christians are saying, so we're just wondering, you all are just against them putting in houses right here. You're not against this, development everywhere. You're not like those, you're not environmentalists or anything, are you? And me and one of the other neighbors who knew each other pretty well just sort of looked at each other and it's like, no, it's just this one. And we just lied through our teeth right there. But the point is, that's politics, is making alliances. Hell, that's life, It's like, I lived on the same property as my mom for 20 years. We didn't agree on everything. And there were times where we had very strong disagreements about things. That's life. And so, I don't really, sure, I guess there's categories. There are ways you could put me on the left. I certainly believe in a woman's right to choose whether to have an abortion or not. But then again, I also think that there are things that one can do that can cause one to forfeit one's right to live. I have absolutely no problem with the state killing Ted Bundy. Absolutely no problem at all. So that makes me a bad lefty. I have opinions. Sue me. Here's the real point. The real point is I refuse to follow anybody else's line. I am going to think for myself, and I'm going to think for myself until the end. And I would urge you to do the same thing.